This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. We had a special breakfast program this morning on rebuilding Puerto Rico. Our speakers included the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, a city of over 400,000 people, Carmen Luis Cruz, outgoing Congressman Luis Gutierrez, and the moderator was Zoraida Sambalin from Channel 5 NBC in Chicago, and whose husband is Kenny Williams, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. You can listen to White Sox games on WGN Radio 720. The mayor and Congressman Gutierrez talked about conditions in Puerto Rico right now. They gave great thanks to people like Commonwealth Ed, machinists, carpenters, and others who came down to Puerto Rico to help rebuild the power grid. As I said, they brought light back to the lives of many people in Puerto Rico. It's been 7 months after Hurricane Maria, and both the mayor and the congressman said Puerto Rico still needs a lot of help. There are 500,000 people still without proper housing, power, and it's only 42 days from the next hurricane season. People need medical care. Suicide rates in Puerto Rico are up 55% since Hurricane Maria. People need water, food, medical supplies, and the first water, food, and medical supplies all came from the city of Chicago. Puerto Rico has had four total blackouts since December. Their economy is tanking. Illnesses abound. Schools are only operating half-time during the daytime. As the mayor said, we were in hell. It's getting a little better. Now we are at the gates of hell. There's been a tremendous drain of people from Puerto Rico. 500,000 people have left the island, mainly for Florida. Another 200,000 are projected to leave in 2018. Both the congressman and the mayor said Puerto Rico is a colony and doesn't have control of its own natural resources, water, wind, and sun. They're too heavily dependent on petroleum. Children from Chicago and elsewhere have been sending dollar bills, $5 bills, small flashlights so that school kids can have light to study by. Puerto Rico's economy is being controlled by what's called the Fiscal Control Board. Seven people appointed by the Congress of the United States are making important decisions. The bureaucracy seems to be strangling recovery in Puerto Rico. Both the mayor and the congressman criticized FEMA, criticized the Fiscal Control Board, and they said things will only improve if there is a new Congress with new leaders and new attitudes towards Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, to regain its stability, will need significant infusions of capital, and an important thing to consider is what we might call the diaspora. All the people who have left Puerto Rico, the brain drain, will they come back? Because Puerto Rico needs permanent solutions to transient problems.
I am so delighted to be here today. My name is Zoraida Sambalin. I'm the news anchor in the morning on NBC5. Who watches NBC5 News in the morning? That's awesome, but that is not enough. So I am here to tell you, I'm normally on 4:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning, but starting Monday morning, I will be there from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. I do get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I always like to be prepared, so I will be delighted to be there for you. Give us a watch. Let us know how you feel. And for a lot of the Latinos that are here today and a lot of the Boricuas, you get to support a fellow Boricua. I really want to get to a lot of questions today. I know that a lot of you have your own questions. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to be here today. So a little background on why. I was born in the Logan Square neighborhood, Humboldt Park. I know that I have a lot of my people here in the room today. But what a lot of you don't know is that I spent 4 years of my life in Puerto Rico, 4th through 8th grade, in San Germán, in the barrio of Rosario Alto. So when our island started to fall apart, it was very personal. And it is how I got to know our great mayor of San Juan. I was riveted. I used to work for CNN, but I was now watching CNN day and night just to see your passion and to see your commitment to our people was really extraordinary. So to be in your presence, knowing how hard you have worked, fills me up. Thank you. And Congressman Gutierrez and I go way back. He welcomes me with a Boricua, which I absolutely love. You are nothing if not real and passionate, and it is palpable, and I've had the pleasure of being your friend, also being able to interview you, and it has been a joy, and your commitment and your passion, I hope, does not end. I hope it continues in another iteration. So thank you, sir. I'm going to invite you both to please join me now. If you could both please join me, thank you. So before we get started here, I want to tell you that there are some cards on the table for you to write down some questions. There are some of you already that have been very good and have submitted your card already, and then some of you that did it over the internet, which I greatly appreciate. I'm going to try to get to as many questions as possible, I promise, but I know that a lot of you in this room are very vested in what happens on our beautiful island and how you can be a part of that change. And some of you just have some questions. And so I invite you to write those down. There are going to be people that are going to be roaming around that will take those questions from you. They will bring them up to me. I'm going to sift through them. I've got a lot of questions on the power grid system, so I don't need any more, because I'm sure we're going to discuss that quite a bit. So I am going to... we're taking phone calls. I got to tell you that, I don't know if you noticed, but Mayor Yulín Cruz was taking selfies when when she arrived here, which just goes to tell you how down-to-earth she is. So, Congressman, yes. I'm going to go ahead and start with you very quickly here.
Yes.
If we can start talking about the state of the island of Puerto Rico and the condition right now.
First of all, thank you to everybody who's here today. And thank you for all of the incredible contributions that so many of you have made. I want to, first of all, say thank you, Zoraida, for hosting this event with us. It's wonderful to see a Puerto Rican woman, a woman in your position of authority here in the city of Chicago. And we loved you on CNN, and we're very happy you're back home
here
in Chicago with us once again. So, Zoraida, you're a sense of pride for all of us in this room. I want to take a moment to say to the women and the men of Commonwealth Edison that went and helped to rebuild our energy grid. They're over to the right. Thank you, everybody. Let's give them a round of applause. They went down there and showed you what it is that we can do. Thank you.
They're the best.
And Carmen Julin says they're the best.
Well, it used to be that the guy that came to my house that I liked the most was the guy that took care of the refrigerator.
Okay.
Then it was the guy that took care of the generator. I've recently got divorced. So that's... and then it was any of you, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you, any of you, because you really, truly brought light back to our lives, and for that we will always be in your debt. So thank you very much.
So as Julin says, thank you. So thank you to everybody. So look, this is the most powerful nation in the world. It's the most technologically advanced nation in the world. It's the richest nation in the world. I guess the question we have to ask ourselves, did we treat Puerto Rico as though we were in partnership with the richest, most technologically advanced nation in the world? And I think you have to say it's a resounding no. We didn't. We didn't do. I mean, I was on an airplane with the Cardinal from Chicago to Puerto Rico. And I said, Cardinal, why are you going to Puerto Rico? It's good to have you. What's your mission? He said, the Pope called me and said, I've got to go down. Now, did the Pope call the Cardinal and say, go to Florida? Did he say, oh, by the way, can you go check out and send me back a cable back to Rome, how things are going in Texas? No, that's how bad it is in Puerto Rico. They have to send emissaries from the Catholic Church from all the way from Rome. So even in the papal center of the United States of America, they know what's going on in Puerto Rico, and it's a thing of concern. Look, I was just there with Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and a group, a delegation from here. And we visited, obviously, with Carmen Yulín, because you have to go to Puerto Rico. You have to visit with Carmen Yulín so she could give you up-to-date, right, information about what's going on. So we visited where? We went to Comerío, and we went to Lois Aldea, and we went there. And I just got to tell you, here's my last memory. I'm going to shorten this up. Había una pareja en Loíza. Tenían sus 70 años. Su casa no tenía un techo. Their home didn't have the roof. The roof had blown. So they had the four walls. They had a couple of sparse pieces of furniture that the hurricane didn't. And they were sitting on a bench. And I said, ¿Ustedes duermen aquí? Do you sleep here? He goes, no, we go to a neighbor's house to sleep. But every day we sit here waiting to see if somebody's going to come and help us. Mm-hmm. I mean, 7 months later? And I said, have you received any help? Bueno, they're giving us a little bit of help, but it's not enough. So we're doing Puerto Rico on the cheap. I want you all to know, thank you for everything that you've done. We have to continue to do it. Because one of the problems, Zoraida, is that in the first month, everybody's into it. The second month, the third. But we're going to stay on it in the city of Chicago until Puerto Rico has 21st century housing, 21st century water system, and a 21st century electrical grid, and a 21st century relationship with the United States of America.
Well, I know that the conversation has been kept alive in certain cities more than in others, and in our city because of your efforts and the constant press releases that we get on what is happening so that we can talk about it. So I appreciate that. Mayor, if you could, however, give us a bigger overview of the condition of the island right now, a brief one as well, because I want to get to as many questions as possible.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. 500,000 people to this day. Today, it's the seventh horrible anniversary of Maria on the 20th. We are 42 days from the next hurricane season, and 500,000 homes are in need of extreme repairs on the roof or of a complete renovation entirely. 55% suicide rate has increased. We don't even know how many people finally died as a result of the botched effort that was incapable of providing a constant, reliable, and robust supply chain of aid. When I said people were dying, it wasn't a hyperbole. People were dying. We didn't have enough food to put on the table. And before I continue to tell you very briefly how things are, I have to thank the people of Chicago. I have to thank Luis. I have to thank the mayor. I have to thank Chuy, who's sitting on the third table here, Chuy Garcia. Because the first provisions of food, water, tarps, and medicine that San Juan received, not only for San Juan, but we shared it with a lot of other towns, warned from those that were called to do so. 5 days after the hurricane, 5 days, when others were saying that the logistics were unsurmountable, things couldn't get done. You know, you can put a man on the moon 238,900 miles away, but you can't help people 1,000 miles from the coast. It's unfathomable that things like that happen. But the city of Chicago came to our rescue, came to our aid, and the first 75,000 pounds of food, water, tarps, and medicine that we got from you. So you actually saved lives. Now, one thing led to another, and you would think that after 7 months, everything would be on track to a firm path of recovery. That's not the case. We have had the total blackout 4 times since December. The last one was 2 days ago. Total blackout. So people went back to ground zero, back to September 20th. As I said, we don't even know how many people have died. There's a study going on now. I have come to hate the word assessment. Because while people are dying, there's no time to be assessing things. Sometimes you have to fix the plane and fly it at the same time. We don't have still our, even with the wonderful work that all of the companies from the United States have done, our electrical system is very old. So even though the transmission system is being rebuilt, the generation system is still very old. The economy is still tanking because you cannot run a business. And just think, all of a sudden, all the lights in this room go off, and all you have is this. This is all you have for 7 months. That's it. Nothing else in your home for 7 months. So illnesses are abounding. People with that have to be plugged into generators, life-saving support systems, are still struggling. Our children are still going to school half a day. 500,000 people are estimated to have moved to the United States, some of them to Chicago, but mostly to Florida. And in the past 2 years, 500 millionaires have moved in. So if the word gentrification means anything to anyone here, which I know it does, this is potentially going to happen in the next few years on a massive scale if we don't stop it, if we don't stand up to it, and if we don't speak about it and tell the truth. So the situation is still touch and go, and with this I'll finish. Somebody asked me to sum it up the other day. I said, well, we were in hell, and now we're in the gates of hell. Mm. It's a little better. It's in the right direction, right, Father? But we're still in hell. So anything you can do, things like this are so important, because as you know, out of the new cycle, out of the minds of the people that are making policy. One last thing. The American people have been extraordinary. The diaspora has been wonderful. And you have stepped up and gone, literally, where others said that the logistics were too difficult. So it has been gente salvando gente, people saving people. And where governments failed, people soared.
Well, out of the news cycle, out of the news cycle is where you were born. And so at the end of the day, it is people making sure at your caliber right now and at Congressman Gutierrez's caliber right now that you are willing to get on a plane and go wherever you need to go in order to keep this story alive. So we are very grateful for that. The brain drain I want to get to in a minute, because there was already a crisis on the island, 500,000 people, and now the projection is another 200,000 people in 2018. So what do you do when you are losing that kind of creativity on your island? What do you do?
Well, let me just say, first of all, Puerto Rico is not going to be restored to where it should be in 21st century standards, I believe, until you have a president of the United States that respects the people of Puerto Rico. Respects people in general, but respects the people of Puerto Rico, first of all. So I know this is not a political event, but Carmen and I...
Well, it's a policy. It's a policy issue.
But Carmen and I and she is doing this, and we are making sure that we keep this alive, because that's the first thing. And any plan has to have a plan for the Puerto Ricans in Chicago and the Puerto Ricans that have fled and gone to Florida or New York to be able to return to their homeland, Puerto Rico. Any plan. You cannot have a plan that doesn't include that. So you're right. And unfortunately, so much of what happens in Puerto Rico really predates the hurricane,
right,
Maria. People were leaving by the hundreds of thousands before Maria. This is simply exacerbated a bad situation. We need to have a federal government that works with Puerto Rico to create job opportunities and to use the skill of the Puerto Rican people and the talent of the Puerto Rican people and put that to work and incentivize the people of Puerto Rico to be more autonomous and freer and to be able to take their resources. I go to the island of Puerto Rico and we have an energy grid that uses petroleum, which is two or three times more expensive than the energy you have to consume here and pollutes the environment. We have the sun and we don't harvest it. We have the wind and we don't harvest it. We don't use our own natural resources in order to create a situation in Puerto Rico that allows people to create jobs. Look, I can't invite people to Puerto Rico if I don't have water and electricity. I have talent because Lord knows Puerto Rican people are talented, are smart, are ingenious. But I also have to provide the infrastructure for that. And I just want to take before, because Carmen said something, I want to say something to all of the members of the Puerto Rican Agenda that are here today that went out and raised money immediately. I just want to say a couple of things because I think it's important, Soraida. I mean, we woke up the CEO, Munoz, on a Saturday morning, and he was trying to fix his own house in Florida. And we got him up and said, we need a plane. And you want to know something? I don't know. It was kind of good to have a Munoz on the other side because we got a plane from United. That's how we got what the federal government was unable to do. Miraculously, United Airlines was able to do within 48 hours. And I just want to say one other thing. We raised the money and I went down there. We went shopping, right, Jose Lopez? No, we went shopping and we went to the Walmart subsidiary, well, Sam's Club, to that woman who took our $65,000 credit card. She put it and she let us take the supplies, even though it hadn't cleared. To that woman. Wow. So I want to say, Carmen, to the marvelous people of the United States of America, you are so much greater and better than the government of the United States has been. So I want to say we need to distinguish between the people of the United States and the government of the United States.
I know also in the room today, I always get great emails from teachers. They just love to chime in and let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and how we can move forward. So I know that we have some representation from some high schools here today where the kids have taken it upon themselves to adopt schools in Puerto Rico. I will be telling their story because that is how you move mountains, right? They got to follow in your footsteps. All that you're talking about, Congressman and Mayor, takes money.
Call me Julene.
Julene, thank you.
Julene is my grandmother's nickname.
Well, the Congressman told me that you were going to let me do that, so thank you.
She was a very, very poor woman, and talking about teachers. And she realized at some point that education was her ticket out of poverty. So she worked very hard. She graduated from high school the day my dad graduated from grammar school.
Oh, wow.
And she worked at a cafeteria at night so he could eat in that cafeteria during the day. So that's my own way of recognizing true valor and courage. And all the women in the room know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's down, we always rise up to the occasion. So thank you very much. I think what Luis says is very important, and I emphasize it all the time. The heart of the American people open up. I started getting postcards. The first one I got was from a kid in Ohio with a dollar bill just stapled to it. I kept it. I haven't deposited that dollar. Teachers from places in the United States I had never heard. Children from second grade sending $5 bills in little envelopes, and they also would put a very tiny flashlight for children in Puerto Rico to receive. So the connection that was there with Chicago and other cities will forever now be etched in our DNA, not in our hearts, but in our DNA. And it is true. It is powerful. It's even more powerful than power that comes from governmental structures.
Yes.
The power that comes from the feeling of people knowing that their fellow humans are somewhere in the world needing help. And this is not poetry. It's reality. You know, en español dicen que el amor mueve montañas. ¿Cómo uno dice eso en inglés? Love moves mountains.
Moves mountains, yeah.
And is it?
Yeah.
So truly, it's one of the things that has happened. How do you do it? To your question, is you embrace the human spirit, and you make sure that it soars very high, because I've seen, and I'm sorry if we get a little emotional when we talk about this, women hanging up to ropes to go from one side of a river to another just to get food or to get their children to go somewhere where they can plug into a car and get a nebulizer. You know, I've seen dialysis patients that haven't had dialysis in 2-3 weeks receive me at their homes when we finally get to them. Smile. I've seen men exhausted from having to just plow away to get to a home to see their bedridden elderly parents. And when that happens, you know that there has to be a structure plan. But you also know that at some point you can't squeeze more out of people. Right now in Puerto Rico, we have a fiscal control board that was imposed by the Congress of the United States. Well, just yesterday they announced their austerity. You know her. She was here, right? Yarisco. Mm-hmm. Now, we're lowering pensions to about 80% of the people that gave their life working. We're lowering pensions because the fiscal control board says that it has to be done. Up to 15%. So we're going to be making the poor poorer. We're raising the cost of going to the university threefold. And the fiscal control board says we have to eliminate half of the campuses of the system of the University of Puerto Rico. So not only will there be a brain drain, those that would want or to achieve upward mobility, move into the middle class like my grandmother did, won't be able to go to school. We're selling the schools just like they did in Katrina. The Puerto Rican governor is right now giving way to charter schools and to vouchers. Now, not all charter schools are bad, but it's the philosophy behind it that is bad. Is that if we privatize essential services, that's what they think, everything will be okay. Well, everything will not be okay, because there is a reason why in Puerto Rico the power authority is in the hands of the Puerto Rican people. It is because it is a great equalizer. Because if you are from El Barrio San Sebastián del Pepino, maybe the power company will go there and decide that there's not enough people living there, so they're not going to upgrade your grid system. So right now what we are getting is lloviendo sobre mojado, you know. It doesn't...
Raining when it's wet.
Raining. When it rains, it pours, right? So we, like Luis said, we had a very difficult situation before. And now, look, we also have to own up on the bad decisions that we've made over the years. That's on us. People tell me, well, you know, there have been some situations of corruption in Puerto Rico. Of course they have been. And shame on them. But when the situation happened with President Nixon, did America run out and say, let's push away democracy because of what happened? No, you reinforced it. You made it stronger. So because some people have made something, somewhat of a decision that's not good, we can't throw what we have. So we have to get back some sense of a democratic way of looking at things and a democratic way of life. And while the fiscal control board is there, and seven people can make decisions. Look, the governor of Puerto Rico and I don't see eye to eye, but I respect democracy, and he was elected. That's why I went to meet President Trump when he was in Puerto Rico. We don't see eye to eye. I think that's been pretty obvious. But he's the president of the United States. So you respect the office because you respect democracy. But that's not what we had coming this way. You know, and that awful, awful view of having the president throw paper towels at us. It wasn't funny, but it just is epitomizes what Luis was talking about. The lack of cognizant public policy that is put forth comes from the vision that you have of what your mission is. Things that you deal with in the States, you know, a kid that gets shot 20 times, he's holding a cell phone, for heaven's sake, just because he's a black kid. Racial profiling. Things that you are dealing with very courageously in the United States. What does that have to do with Puerto Rico? Well, we need a few things, and I'll be brief because I know you want to get to the questions, but we need a waiver on the Stafford Act. What happens? They 61% of the people that requested FEMA help have not received FEMA help. 61%. And FEMA says that if I see a house with a wooden structure and a zinc top, that I have to build it just exactly the way it was. Well, you know, even the wolf from the three, what is it, Little Red Riding Hood, will come and huff and puff and you know, ¿cómo son los tres cerditos? But the name changes in English. It's not Los Tres Cerditos. Is it the three little pigs?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
A pig's a pig.
It is. I think I know what you're thinking here.
Yeah, well. Sí, esa es una mujer boricua. That's a nasty woman if I've seen one. And believe me, I can recognize a nasty woman.
I'll take it as a compliment.
So we need a waiver on the Stafford Act. Now, Texas got, we also need a waiver on the Jones Act. Texas got 100% waiver on the Jones Act. You know, that's the act that says that everything that comes into Puerto Rico has to come in through a ship that has a U.S. flag. So Texas, after Harvey, got a 100% waiver on that. Now, that increases the cost of living in Puerto Rico between 30 to 33%. It was waived for 7 days for Irma, because don't forget Irma. She was not nice also, September 5th. And then it was for 10 days for Maria. So that was an acceptance, an admission, that if it was waived, things would go better. But it wasn't waived long enough for it to take an appeal. We also need the money to get to Puerto Rico. I bet you guys think that $4.9 billion that was passed in Congress when late November has gotten to Puerto Rico. No, because now there's a fight. Hedge funds want to use that money to be repaid. And they are imposing conditions on the Puerto Rican government to give that money. So all of those billions of dollars that you've been hearing about, well, we haven't seen them. And those monies, and I'm sure the people, if there's any government, municipal, city employees here will love this, they have to go not only to the central government, but also to the municipal governments. Because municipalities, come July 1st, are going to start shutting down. And I'm sorry to bring this four-letter word. Don't worry, Father, you'll be okay with it. FEMA has not given us the reimbursement because they keep changing the rules. I don't know how many of you know, I didn't know, that FEMA's system does not talk to the Army Corps of Engineers system, does not talk to the GAR government authorized representative system. So you have to input the data in three different systems. And they tell us they don't talk to each other because there's private and personal information. They're government agencies. They shouldn't be aware to share them with one another. So we need that, and frankly, we need the Fiscal Control Board gone. Gone completely. It just cannot be there anymore.
If I could jump in here for a minute, because where I would like the congressman to jump in is we've heard about all the problems. We've heard about what is setting us back, where the island was before, on the brink of financial crisis, or actually in financial crisis, on the brink of bankruptcy. So where are we with that, Congressman, and how do we move forward from there, and how do we affect change? It's great things that we want to do, but how do we get there?
Well, first of all, we need to realign the relationship between the people of Puerto Rico and the federal government. We need a new alignment, and that alignment has to be based on mutual respect for one another and self-governance. We cannot continue to have the colonial situation of Puerto Rico continue to exacerbate the situation.
Somebody wanted to clap. You can clap if you want.
And that's not a radical notion, because even the right wing of the statehood party in Puerto Rico denounces colonialism, as rightfully they should. And that is what is at the core of many of the problems, the lack of self-governance. The mayor speaks about a control board, 7 members, none of them elected and none of them accountable to the people of Puerto Rico, passed by the Congress of the United States, because the Congress of the United States says Puerto Rico's a colony. It's under the territorial clause of the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, it is property of the United States of America to be dispensed with as it wishes. So it can unilaterally impose a control board over the elected government chosen by the people of Puerto Rico.
Why was that put in place, Congressman?
And that was put in place because of the fiscal crisis, in order to give tools to the fiscal crisis. But here's what's astonishing. When we needed $800 billion to take the Goldman Sachs and all of the other, and the banks and the hedge funds that drove this country in 2008 to the precipice of economic, the Congress stood up. But for the people of Puerto Rico, they said, let's impose. So what are they doing? What they are doing is making it even harder. They want to eliminate the minimum wage, especially if you're under 25 years. But it's something like a Puerto Rican that's 25 years or younger doesn't deserve $7.25 an hour. So, Soraida, that is part of the problem. Look, Senator Bernie Sanders and Carmen, I'm sorry, I'm so used to calling you Carmen, and the mayor and I, we support that. It's $1 billion for a complete rebuilding of the people of Puerto Rico. How are we going to get that? Well, we need a new Congress and the House of Representatives and a new Senate so they can be taken seriously and the people of Puerto Rico can be rebuilt. So,
reality, Congressman, reality, right?
So, but that is truly the reality of the people of Puerto Rico. That's what we need. We need to give people power that care and love the people of Puerto Rico. Soraida, you have to see Puerto Rico within the context of an extended metaphor, right? Because you have somebody that throws paper towels at us, but says, I don't want to serve in the armed forces because I got a bad foot. But guess what? Transgender people are going to be thrown out of the military. You know what? I believe in religious freedom, and I advocate for religious freedom, but I'm going to have a Muslim ban in the United States of America. You know, I mean, you have a president of the United States that says that Mexicans are murderers, rapists, right, and drug dealers, and there's a few good ones, but we should get them out of the country. Puerto Rico is simply an extended metaphor of the current governance at the White House of the United States of America. And so you cannot look at it, Soraida, merely within the public policy context. You need a political response to it. And I just want to say one other thing, and that is, I believe in private-public relationships to rebuild the energy grid of Puerto Rico. I don't believe we can do it alone. We should bring the talent of companies and corporations to the people of Puerto Rico and rebuild that energy grid. But we also need to understand that we need to do that in an open and transparent process where the people of Puerto Rico still control the flow of the energy out to everybody, but who creates that energy is done in some kind of relationship with others, because we have seen it. And here's why, because we're going to need infusion of capital into our... But here's what happened. But we can't keep giving whitefish from Montana and allow them to create a company and give them $300 million. And we can't. That, 2 days ago, my island went black again.
Cobra.
And I was watching NBC, and NBC said it was the largest blackout of any area in the United States of America, the blackout that just happened. Why did that blackout happen? Because Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rican government decided to give $1 billion to Cobra Energy out of Oklahoma. Now, I'm not into Oklahoma City, Oklahoma not coming down and working, helping us out. But you know what the company, you can look them up, Mammoth, you know what they dedicate themselves? To fracking, to oil and gas exploration using the latest technology, which means we don't give a hoot about the earth and the mother earth. We're going to get to those things and make it available. That's who they brought to Puerto Rico, a fracking company to help destroy our island. So we also have to challenge ourselves, as Carmen Julien said, we have to challenge ourselves, because I have to tell you, the central government of Puerto Rico has made disastrous decisions when it comes, and they should be held accountable too, but the people of Puerto Rico need to hold them accountable. So all of that together, I think, is going to give us the ability to give a rebirth to our island of Puerto Rico. But remember, we have to be careful as we proceed, because I'm sorry, we have a really sad history in Puerto Rico. My mom and the women of my mom's generation, they were the ones that were tested for the birth control pill. My beautiful island of Vieques is contaminated, and it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to restore her.
Because Agent this Orange
because this government decided they were going to bomb the hell out of it. Until I and others stood up and, yes, went to jail and said no more bombing in Vieques, this government did not respect us. So it is that kind of, it is going to take that kind of vigilance. And lastly, you know, Carmen, one of the things I didn't say was after we collected everything and we put it on an airplane, I want everybody in this room to know, we didn't just send it to Puerto Rico. We sent it to Carmen Julien. And you know why we sent it to Carmen Julien? Because we knew she had her combat boots on. She had her little gorrita on. She took her trucks to the airport. She picked it up. And that evening, it was in people's homes. So don't say that all government officials are bad and that government is bad in itself. Because we put our trust in you, Carmen Julien. We continue to put our trust in you. Because I think, you know, you are, I have to say this in front of everything, you've been a wonderful guiding light for us and a voice. There was not only darkness in Puerto Rico because the lights were out. There was darkness in Puerto Rico because no one would speak for us. No one would speak for us. And you spoke for us. So you shed other kind of light on Puerto Rico. You said the light that said we deserve to be respected on this island. So I want to say thank you, and thank you for coming to Chicago and being with us.
So the reason I interrupt you so much is because we have the president, the current president of the United States that we have. We have the current governor of Puerto Rico that we have. And so short of waiting until the next election cycle, a lot of people in this room, based on these questions that I'm getting, are what are we going to do right now? How can we do it to impact change? I have so many questions on education, 283 schools closing. What can we do now?
Well, it's it has to be said, about 200 schools closed under the last administration. I opposed it then, and I oppose it now. Why? Because when you close a school, are any teachers here? Yeah. When you close a school, you tear up a community apart. Schools are not only a place of learning, but they're a place of community interaction. And in Puerto Rico, as in the United States, schools are also voting places. So this is also another way of disenfranchising and taking away voting rights. You eliminate a school where people from your party don't go to vote and have them go to another school where you need transportation. You know what we call transportation in Puerto Rico? La aspirina, the aspirin, because it's about one every 4 hours. You know? So it's funny, but it isn't funny because you can't build an economy based on the fact that everyone has to have a car. It's not good for the environment, and it's not good for the economic environment. One of the things that we also have to remember, and you reminded us, is USVI. USVI has been also neglected. Now, they have their power back on. They're much smaller, but they're still in a very dire situation. So this isn't only a Puerto Rico issue. This is a Caribbean issue. And the way that the Caribbean is perceived and the way that the Caribbean is treated. So what can we do right now is with this 280-something schools that are closing, people are taking to the streets every day. Parents, teachers, students. One of the great things that Maria did is that no longer is protesting considered one of these things that only those people do. You know, the ones that I love with the long hair and the tattoos and the... by the way, no, it is not Che Guevara's hat that I was wearing. It is an International Association of Machinists hat that 327 AFL-CIO workers, if there was any union people in the house, put their lives in pause in the United States, left their homes, and went to an unknown territory in service for 2 weeks, 34 communities, teachers, doctors, nurses, machinists, carpenters, electricians, plumbers. And they all helped us to pave the way for help to get there when it got there. So number one, people are taken to the streets. Number two, you have to shout from wherever, the rooftops or wherever, about the unequal treatment that Puerto Ricans receive. Yes, we are citizens of the United States since 1917. Now that's a law. It was passed, it can be taken away. But there's a moral obligation. And like Luis said, sometimes things are intertwined. The financial subordination and the economic subordination goes hand in hand with political exploitation. And that's not the American way. You know, doesn't it say on the Declaration of Independence that we are all endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, amongst which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? So letting people die of hunger and thirst, what does that mean? That the laws of nature, of nature's God, does not apply to me? Because I was born in the Caribbean, because I'm a Latino woman, a woman of color? Is that what that means? I don't believe that for a minute. And most Americans don't believe that for a minute. So yes, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has an occupant that will stay there from 2020. What can we do? Well, I'm sorry, I have to say it. November 2018 is what we can do. But in order for that to happen, people have to organize. People have to think about the agenda. People have to think about the country that they want. And people have to vote. Now, we don't get to vote, and those of us that don't believe in statehood for Puerto Rico are not asking for the right to vote. But like Luis said, the situation is not going to change because so many laws are there intertwined until we have a dignified relationship with the United States. I don't like saying that Puerto Rico is a territory or a colony. But the truth will set you free. Father, you're having a great impact on me this morning, I have to say.
Minding your mouth, I take it, right?
Yes. Yes, restrain is like, I can just hear my mother telling me, no lo digas, nena.
When you talk about that voting power, don't we have more Puerto Ricans stateside now than we do on the island of Puerto Rico? So that's pretty powerful right there.
There's 5 million Puerto Ricans in the States and 3 million in Puerto Rico, so we are the diaspora now.
So the diaspora is a very important component to the rebuilding of Puerto Rico. But we don't want to create a diaspora because the government failed. We don't want to increase that diaspora. So everybody knows that Obama in 2012 won Florida by about 50,000 votes. And along comes our current president and wins it by about 50,000 votes. Well,
and 317,000 Puerto Ricans just moved to Florida.
And as Carmen just, there's over 200,000 that have moved to Florida. But here's what I think, and I want to take a moment because there are a lot of Puerto Rican elected officials that are in this room, and I'd like them to stand up for one moment. I know that there are other women. There's a state senator here, and I would like them to...
They're not standing up?
Yeah. Parece. Let's give them... We have... And... thank you, Iris. Thank you. And we have others here. And I want to take a moment because I think it's important that they're here and they're helping, right? And I know we have in the back, and Villegas is here. I know that Alderman Villegas is here and others are here. I can't see you all because of the lights that are here. But I want to say thank you to all of you. And yeah, it's important. It's important because Delia Ramirez is a Puerto Rican woman from Logan Square, who's our new state rep, and she's going down there. And all of these people are deeply committed. She's there, Delia. She's sitting at the table with J.B. Pritzker, along with, and I want to say something. I would never, ever have quit Congress unless I knew there was a powerful voice in Jesus Garcia that was going to the Congress of the United States of America. So I want to make that clear, and he's going to go. And here's the great thing for everybody. Jesus, right, and Bernie Sanders, they have an extraordinary close relationship. So I'm excited about that combination of a congressman from Chicago.
And he's married to a Puerto Rican, and smart guy.
And Boricua de Aguada. But I think, can I just say one other thing? Because sometimes we don't celebrate our own. I mean, when Time Magazine yesterday said the 100 most influential people in the world, Carmen Julin is one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And so, I think, so to answer your question, Soraida, it's about power, right? And advocacy. And I'm excited that in America, people are embracing, right? People from our island, like Carmen Julin, right, and embracing her and saying, continue that voice, because there are others who want to quiet her voice. There are others who want to send her off to the corner. We know what that's about. Well, guess what? You know, when I grew up in America, yeah, gay people were in the closet, women were in the kitchen, black people were in the back of the bus, and Latinos no hablábamos. But guess what? This is 2018. And Carmen Julin no va a callar su boca, y nosotros no nos vamos a callar tampoco como comunidad. So I think a lot of what needs to happen is happening in terms of advocacy that we make and the kind of relationship that we have with the people here in this room.
The other thing you mentioned, and it goes back to, I love the word in English because it's power, right? So it has a different meanings. But we have to go to power microgrids. Before Irma and Maria, all of the power, electrical power in Puerto Rico was generated on the southern part. After that, there's a little bit being generated on the northern part and most of it on the southern part. So just imagine that this is Puerto Rico and you have the power grid down here and everything goes through poles and wires that are above the air. So again, with the three little pigs, huff and puff, and everything will go down. So a lot of us are advocating, first of all, for diversity in the way that we generate our energy, because there's generation and there's transmission. And having public-private partnerships for the generation part of it, but have the deed, the title deed, be still in the hands of the Puerto Rican people. And have the island nation of Puerto Rico cut in four corners and have generation on each of those sites and then microgrid points in communities as backup. We have two communities in San Juan that we're going to be doing that. Remember all those $5 bills and $1 bill? So we had to start a foundation because as people from government know, we just can't accept money like that. It's called somebodyhelpus.org. So if you have a dollar that you don't need, just put it through internet and it'll go. Small donations are the ones that...
They add up.
No, de verdad. Granito a granito se le llena el buche a la gallina. Yeah. So there's no translation for that. I said, grain by grain, you fill up
the sack, right?
The chicken sack. Doesn't,
¿verdad?
No sabe a lo mismo.
No,
eso no traduce. No, yeah. But it just it is amazing because we also have to look at permanent solutions for recurring problems. So that's why, for example, I'm pushing right now with this blackout. Every hospital in Puerto Rico must have a backup generator system with a transfer switch. The people that know about this in the room know how much a transfer switch is worth. Because that is the thing that makes when the power goes down, nobody has to run out and go to the generator and crank it and pull it and push it and make sure that it runs. But what happens is that when you have a generator running at a hospital, it usually doesn't run all of the areas in the hospital, so you have to move out all of the intensive care patients. You have to operate, as happened in Puerto Rico, with the lights in your cell phone. So we need all of the hospitals in Puerto Rico to have that capacity in San Juan in order to practice what we preach. We have not one but two systems in our municipal hospital. It goes in 10 seconds. All you see is a light dimming and it goes right back on. We have a 10,000 gallon of diesel. That means that in a really bad storm, it would give us a power in the hospital for about 5 days before we have to replenish it. So that first level of having generators that work to capacity, and that ensure that those hospitals work in all of their areas, it's an essential thing in the next 42 days to get back, to get in place. Because the type of health crises that came after the aftermath of Maria was incredible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had the USS Comfort that went down to Puerto Rico, but that at the beginning you couldn't use it because the bureaucracy was so much. So what we can do right now also is take the four-letter word of FEMA and make sure that the bureaucracy is stripped down to almost nothing to ensure that the aid gets there fast. Look, it happened in Harvey. I had a short conversation with the mayor of Houston, and he said, I don't understand why there's so many levels. Right now, if a municipality is asking for a refund of more than $1 million, it has to go to the Congress of the United States to be approved, and then it goes back through the GAR to the central government of Puerto Rico, and then they decide to drop it. When they decide to drop it, which is a term. But it goes from the municipality to the local FEMA, to the state FEMA. If it's over $1 million, then it goes to Congress. It goes to GAR, it goes to Congress. It's a seven-step process to get money refunded. So what is happening now is a lot of mayors are saying, if I don't get my money that I used already from FEMA, and people forget FEMA is an insurance. No, you pay for it. I may not have money to pay my payroll in the month of May, which is a few days from now. And that will make the crises a lot deeper than what it already is. So what can you do, especially the people that are here, that are elected officials? Get on the phone and say, you know, let's speed this up. What can you do if you're not an elected official? Get on the phones to your elected officials.
Let me, I just want to follow
up. We're running out of time.
Yeah, I just want to follow up really quickly. So what can people do? And I think Carmen Junin just gave an excellent example, right? I mean, half of the people live in San Juan in the metropolitan area, Bayamón, right? And then for the furthest point away from it is where you generate the electricity through the mountains. That's not a recipe for success if all the people, half of the people live here and you're putting your generation system. So that's a good idea. But here's another thing I want, especially for all of you who believe in the Mother Earth. Puerto Rico needs you more than ever. We lost a lot of things, but we lost about a third of our forest in Puerto Rico. We need to replant that. It's not just going to simply come back instantaneously. Some of it will, because Mother Earth is so much better than the government at recuperative powers. Having said that, look, when forests burn down in California and other people, you know what people do? They go and plant the seedlings for the future. So you want to know what you can do? You can also start thinking, for all the environmentalists, for all of those that want to work with the Mother Earth, we need to rebuild. Because if you don't do that, the rain will come, we will lose. The dredging will get worse in our rivers because all you have, the deforestation of Puerto Rico, which makes it worse. Again, Carmen talked about energy in terms of we also have to talk about water. Energy and water, if we don't have those two things, Zoraida, you cannot fuel the future of Puerto Rico.
So here is what I am going to suggest. For those of you that are still questioning how you can get involved, somehow we have some sort of a conduit to be able to communicate and figure out, here's the cause, here's what you should get involved in, this is what's happening. So if we can figure out, that would be awesome. And I, as a woman, cannot leave this room without two questions, and they got to be really quick, and they are directed at you, Julien. One of them is, are you running for governor?
Yeah.
It's a simple yes or no.
No, it's not a simple yes or no.
Probably?
I'm considering it. It depends on what the agenda is. If the agenda is the same thing and the status quo, no. If the agenda is an agenda of transformation, of respect for human rights, of diversification of energy, of protecting our education, of ensuring that union rights are put forward rather than backwards, of ensuring that the LGBT community and the immigrant community are treated with respect, if that is the way that we want to move,
then I believe the answer is yes.
Yes.
And my final question, because we saw you plastered over every television station we could, taking hits that were very personal, and a lot of women in this room sent on these pieces of paper asking, how did you deal with that? How did you deal with the stress? How did you deal with the personal attacks?
Well, I'm still dealing with them. But let me tell you something. My grandmother... My mother is una dama, you know, she's, ¿cómo se dice una dama? A lady. You look at the definition of lady in the dictionary, and there's my mother. I don't know how she raised me. Must have been tough for her. But, you know, when you, injustice, you look at it in the eye, there are two things you can do. You can either stand up or stand down. That's a choice you have to make. And all of us in this room have had to make that decision at some point in our lives. I saw the pain in people's eyes. I saw babies just looking at bottles of water and going literally crazy because they knew that they needed this, even as small as 6 months. I saw people die. I saw things that nobody should ever see. I saw poverty for the first time in my life because everyone around me that had suffered from it shielded me from it. When you're in the face of that and somebody bullies you, you stand up to him and you say enough is enough. Because that shows more of what they're made of than of what you're made of. So I honestly thought, and we all know who we're talking about, I'm here. Bring it on. You know? But I'm not very tall. And I wasn't very tall when I was growing up. So my grandmother told me I had to run a little faster, hit a little harder, scream a little louder.
That's awesome.
And she taught me never to start a fight that wasn't worth it. But she taught me something even much more important, that you never, never, never leave a fight unfinished.
Amen.
Never. So to all the women here, somebody's always going to make you think you're less. Somebody's going to try to shut you up. And it happens to the men too. Now, let's not think this is, you know, it may happen more to women, but it happens to the men too. It's just if a woman says something with passion, she's hysterical. Mm-hmm. If a man says, that's a man that knows what his goals are. Well, don't think of yourself as a woman. Think of yourself as a human. Push on, push forward, and Father, this is not for you, but think of that last phrase on Gone with the Wind. And when you encounter a bully, you just say, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Let me just say to Carmen, I want everybody to continue to help her in her efforts. I think it's important. I want to take a moment to say, you know, not everybody's going to be in a press conference. Not everybody's going to get the recognition, but the people of Puerto Rico, and we need a conduit. So the Puerto Rican agenda used Carmen. I went. You didn't know about this, Zoraida, but J.B. Pritzker went with his wife and his family to Puerto Rico, met with Carmen, made the generous, but there was no press conference. Chuy did the same thing without a press conference, went and raised money. We need you to continue. But Carmen, tell us the name of the fund again.
It's somebodyhelpus.org, and you can go online.
Please,
and do it.
Please help.
And don't let the lights in San Juan fool you. Because people go to San Juan and they think things are okay, but they're not okay. As you move towards the inner side of the island nation of Puerto Rico, yes, things are not okay. I said it once, help us. Because the American people have had nothing but hope, light, and love for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you all for being here today. I really appreciate your questions and your patience. Thank you.